Yesterday we reflected about a blind man in Jericho. Today, a short man in Jericho, Zacchaeus. Jericho, in the eyes of the fathers of the church, was symbolic for the world. Jericho is down there and Jerusalem's up there. So if you're in Jerusalem, you're up in the presence of the Lord, but in Jericho, you're in the world. So here we have the blind man yesterday, Zacchaeus today, both of whom rise up out of their deprived condition and become disciples of Jesus. Perhaps you have heard of the word ableism. So many isms around it, and maybe you can't pay attention to all of them. And I don't think I've ever used this term ableism, but I ran across it again recently. It's the attitude or position of prejudice against people with disabilities, or discrimination against people with disabilities. So you can get it right away. I mean, it's true that is a problem if people consider those with disabilities to be somehow worthless or not even human, or they lack dignity or something like that. And that's part of the reason why the language nowadays is to refer to PWD, persons with disabilities, rather than just saying he's a cripple or something like that. So he's a person, or she's a person with a disability. Something like the change in the language when it comes to prisoners now. We're not allowed to call them prisoners. We have to call them PDL, persons deprived of liberty. So, I understand it. I think there's something to it, to respect the human dignity of every person. Everyone's a person. A person has dignity. So he's not just a prisoner. He's not just a cripple or whatever. But you can see the limit to this too. I mean, you can't pretend that a person with a disability doesn't have a disability. He does. I mean, there's something wrong. I'm not accusing him of being a sinner or something, but he can't see, or he can't walk, or can't hear, or something. A few weeks ago, I ran across an article that was warning preachers against ableism, because preachers tend to use disabilities as symbols of sin, of the sin condition. And imagine how bad you would feel if you were a blind person and you were used as an example as a sinner. Well, again, I get the point, but Jesus himself, I mean, the Gospels themselves, you do this all the time, that when there's something wrong, it's a sign, something wrong meaning out of the ordinary, not morally wrong, but when there's some disability, it's a sign of the spiritual disability that we all suffer from, that is the sin condition. So, maybe there's an attitude or a word out there for people who have prejudice against sinners too. I don't know. Is there such a term? Saintism? Probably just self-righteousness. And self-righteousness, there's plenty of terms like that. Hypocrisy. As if we can look down on sinners. No, we can't, because we're sinners. And God himself does not discriminate against sinners. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost. This is the last line of today's gospel. Or as Jesus says in other places, I have not come to seek the righteous, but sinners, and call them to repentance. Okay, so we're going to set aside the ableism argument. Even though there's something to it, I think there's also a flaw in it, as if we have to pretend that people with disabilities don't have disabilities, or that there's nothing wrong with them. Yes, there is something wrong with them. There's something wrong with a blind person. He can't see. I shouldn't have to say that, but it's pretty obvious there's something wrong. Well, now, that was the case yesterday, the blind man. Now, in the case of Zacchaeus, he's a short man, and that's not a disability. I can't think of any other examples of short people in the scriptures. So Zacchaeus is the only one I can think of. Anyway, he's introduced to us, first of all, by name, which is unusual. Not everybody is even identified by name, but that's the first thing. There's a man there named Zacchaeus. Then we're told he's a chief tax collector. So in the Jewish mind, of course, that's a strike against him. And he's a wealthy man. Those go together. And he's looking to see who Jesus was, but he could not see him because of the crowd. Another symbol, no, the crowd is in the way. For he was short in stature. So Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, wealthy man, short man. He wants to see Jesus, but he can't see him. The crowd is in the way. Now, is that a disability? No, but it is a disadvantage. You can't see over the crowd. But the scriptures are full of examples of people with disadvantage rising above them, usually by faith. That's how yesterday, the blind man, how did he deal with his blindness? He didn't say, accept me as I am. Don't look down on me because I'm blind. He said, Lord, Son of David, have pity on me. He rose above the blindness with faith. He overcame his blindness by seeing with faith. Well, this Zacchaeus does something similar. He doesn't say, well, too bad, I'm short, you know, just accept me the way I am. I should, you know, get out of the way so I can see Jesus. He takes initiative and does something really out of the ordinary for a rich man. He climbs a tree. You can imagine how he looked in the tree. It probably looked pretty silly. But to his credit, he did what he had to do in order to see Jesus. And in doing that, he also made himself visible to Jesus. He not only saw him, but he was seen by him. So you can see how this applies to the spiritual life. I mean, it doesn't matter how tall or short we are. What matters is whether we're willing to strive to see Jesus, meaning have this personal connection, relationship with him, and let ourselves be seen by him, exposing our weakness to him. You can imagine the people of God saying, well, why is that guy up in a tree? Well, because he's short. Zacchaeus did not let that stop him. He did not let the crowd stop him, or his own shortness stop him. That's the way a person of a healthy spiritual life lives. I'm a sinner. I'm not going to let that stop me. I don't sit in my sin and say, well, that's too bad. I'm a sinner. I guess I can't have any relationship with Jesus. No. Don't let the disability of sin become an obstacle to growing in holiness or becoming a disciple. So this is what happens with Zacchaeus. He climbs the tree. Jesus sees him. Now, Zacchaeus, this took him by surprise. He thought it was a one-way street. No, he also was seen and called. Zacchaeus, come down. I must stay at your house. And Zacchaeus, he rejoices to have this, to give hospitality to Jesus. Very beautiful story. A beautiful story of conversion. The people in the crowd, they have saintism, right? They have a prejudice against the sinner. He has gone to stay at the house of a sinner. They don't call him Zacchaeus. They don't call him the tax collector. They don't call him the wealthy man. They don't call him the short man. They call him the sinner. That's who he is. He's a sinner. That's discrimination against sinners. That's self-righteousness. And so the crowd, they're the ones with the disability now, the spiritual disability. They can't see how great it is that Jesus is calling the sinner, that he has come to save what was lost. They can't see that. So they're the ones with the problem. Now, and Jesus is not the one who corrects them. Zacchaeus himself corrects them by pointing to his conversion. This is a beautiful story. He says, He doesn't say, I'm not a sinner. He says, I'm changing the way I am. I'm going to give half my possessions away. I give them to the poor. I'm instead of being a person who is always taking, I'm going to be a giver. If I have defrauded anyone, if I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over. So more than enough. You see the beautiful, beautiful selfless spirit that Zacchaeus takes on here. And then Jesus says, this is what's happening here. This isn't just a generous fellow, guy with a lot of money giving it away. No, salvation has come to this house. Here is a descendant of Abraham, meaning a person who's saved by faith, and the Son of Man has come to save people just like this. So that's the announcement of the gospel, and Zacchaeus becomes a witness of the gospel. Zacchaeus is still a rich man. He's still a tax collector, and he's still short. So what? So what? That doesn't make any difference. He is a disciple of Jesus now. So it's a very great story. Okay, but it's also a warning to us not to be self-righteous and not to judge sinners, but also not to judge ourselves as sinners and give up on ourselves. We're all sinners. Well, in a certain sense, you could say, well, so what? Don't let that stop you. Well, this is also part of the message of the book of Revelation, at least in the beginning of the book of Revelation, when you have these letters to the churches. We read two more of them in today's reading, the letter to the church in Sardis and the letter to the church in Laodicea, both of which are calls to repentance. Don't sit content in your reputation for being alive when in fact you're dead. No, repent, change. It's another example of identifying that there's a problem. You don't say, well, I accept you as you are. No, you have a reputation for being alive, but in fact you're dead, so don't be dead anymore. Come back to life by repentance and by faith. Or in the case of the church in Laodicea, they are neither cold nor hot. Now, that's not talking about temperature, it's talking about their moral condition. They are in a complacency, self-satisfaction. They don't have to change. They're good enough. It would be, if you want to use the Zacchaeus example, it would be like Zacchaeus saying, I already have enough money. I don't have to see Jesus. Well, that's a terrible condition to be in. He would be better off opposing Jesus and being cold than to be lukewarm, like Saul. Saul, who was opposed to this guy until he was converted. Saul is maybe the best example of a conversion from cold to hot, right? He certainly wasn't lukewarm. But to be lukewarm is to have no desire for change. And Jesus says, the Amen says to this condition, no. Because you're lukewarm, I spit you out of my mouth. I hate the taste of you. You make me sick. Don't be lukewarm. Don't be like that. In other words, there's something wrong with you. And listen to what he says. You're wretched, you're pitiable, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked. And the blind, ableism. No, that's the way. We have to identify the problem in order to reject it, in order to rise up above it with God's grace. We can't just say that we're okay, accept me as I am. That's lukewarmness, and it's a spiritually a disastrous condition. So the Lord says, I'm at the door, I'm knocking at the door. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will enter his house and dine with him. Goes very well with the Zacchaeus story, right? He entered Zacchaeus' house because Zacchaeus opened the door by climbing the tree. Zacchaeus heard a knocking. He wouldn't have said it that way, but something in his heart gave him a desire to see Jesus, and he opened the door. So this is what every sinner must do. Don't be lukewarm. Don't sit and do nothing. Don't ignore the knocking of the Lord. No, open the door, and the Lord will come in. He'll rush in with his blessings and fill us with joy. That the grace of conversion is a source of great joy, not only for the one to be converted, but to everyone who knows the story. It's the joy of being saved by the Lord.